Well, everybody laughs at my house about the way I say kindergarten. So, just the way I say it. So, no, it's just I'm the right way. Everybody else is wrong, right? Kindergarten. So anyway, yep. Well, hallelujah. Oh, I had fun last week at the picnic. I had a lot of good food, and that's good. Amen. Amen. Well, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? Amen. We thank you, Jesus, tonight for your word that changes us. Your word, sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4th chapter. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 28. Matthew 6, 28. Now, last week we're going to kind of talk about the kingdom of God and kind of in conjunction with his love for us. You know, the kingdom of God is not, it's not just a physical place. There are some attributes of the kingdom of God. And if we don't strive after the things of God, which is a person, by the way, you know, I just remember, you know, years ago, you know, being at Rhema, and it seems like everybody's trying to get, like, you know, say, I got to say this thing, and I got, it was, you know, confession is important, but just because you say purple elephant doesn't mean a purple elephant's going to manifest, right? You know, and that's where people were that criticized us was coming in and saying, well, you just say what you know, what you know, whatever you want, and you're saying that you can say these things and you can have these things. We say things because we believe in a person. We don't have things just because we say things. Right. Our mouths are in agreement with the Word, who is a person. John 1:1, the Word is with God, the Word was God. And so, and then it says later, it became flesh and dwelt among us. So, you know, we are connecting with a person. And when it becomes works, when we're trying to work something out. Now, when we follow Jesus and we're connected with the person, we want to follow him and things will fall in line. But Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read some scriptures, kind of explain a little bit more of this tonight. Verse 28. And Jesus is speaking here, and he's teaching. He says, why are you worrying about your clothing? Right, ladies? Why are you worrying about your clothing? Right? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make clothing, their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. If God cares so wonderfully for the flowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And sometimes we correlate faith as memorizing scripture, or I've got to get this down, and the word is very important. But having faith is in a person. And it goes on, it says, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, and what will we wear? These things dominate thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Now God knows the things we need. But what is the thing he's getting the point across is like this. Don't obsess over things. Focus on me. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. What is the kingdom of God? That's something that is, you know, and I was like, too, in Bible college, it's like, you know, define or your definitions of what things are use the Bible to define what those things are, right? We can use, you know, dictionaries and things like that, too, but it's always good to be able to define what the Word says by using the Bible to define itself. And so, then verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. I mean, you know, been around people before where Brother Hagin said that Kenneth Brother Hagin said his mother was a champion warrior, you know? And what, you know, when you worry about things and that's why I don't really watch a lot of news anymore. I mean, you know, I kind of keep up with things, but I mean, you know, one minute they say that, you know, eating vegetables is good for you, and then tomorrow they say it's bad for you, and then this is bad and this is good, and you know, you just don't know what to believe anymore when you're watching TV, right? You can get so worked up over everything. You watch something on the news and then you think, oh, you know, it's going to happen to me, or this will happen to me, or, you know, I don't want to fly in a plane because I saw a plane crash on TV. It's like, well, yeah, things happen, but it doesn't mean that I have to sit around and worry about things, because if I'm going to trust in God, then I'm going to have peace. And if I'm going to seek the kingdom of God, which we'll talk about here too, these things are going to fall in line. Romans 14:17. Let's look at that. And again, you know, the kingdom of God, and that's where, when Jesus was on the earth, walking in the flesh, that, you know, many of the people, they wanted to know his kingdom, right? Pilate asked him, are you a king? Where is your kingdom? They were all looking for something physical, but that's not really what, and there is a king, there is a physical kingdom, there is heaven, there is, you know, God is a spirit. He has a throne. We know there is a location. We know those of our friends and loved ones who were saved, gone before us, they're with the Lord, because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? Either in this body as a believer, or you're with the Lord. You're not roaming the earth, right? What's that, the Christmas carol, where they have all these spirits come along, and it's like, not really. that's not really how it goes, right? It makes for fun TV, but it's not reality. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is a place in heaven where we all congregate when we die. No, it is what? It is not meat or drink, but what? Righteousness and peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. What are these things? They are byproducts of the Holy Spirit. They're attributes of, we see, of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. We can say, what is the kingdom of darkness? Well, the kingdom of darkness is fear. That's the main element of that. Everything comes from fear, right? Because the devil is a paranoid, schizophrenic, crazy entity. He is absolutely in fear. Because why? Because he's separated from God. And judgment is going to be coming on him. He's already in judgment. The kingdom of darkness lives in fear. They're paranoid. They're concerned about things. And then we look at the kingdom of God as joy, it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. So the kingdom of God are the things of God, right? They are the attributes of God. They are the, you know, what is important to God. And when we look at 1 John 4:8, it says, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for what? God is love. What is the kingdom of God? It is also what? Love. So if we seek the kingdom of God, what are we going to be involved in? We're going to be involved in righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus was not depressed when he was on the earth, right? He wasn't walking around and, you know, when the disciples, he had, you know, when he's there and he's talking about, hey, you're going to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And then all these people came up and they're like, whoa, this is too much. And then a bunch of them left. And then he's sitting there going, oh, I'm just so depressed. You know, he didn't walk up to the disciples and say, oh, I'm just so depressed. What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. No, he had joy. And in fact, Hebrews says what? In fact, let's look there. Hebrews chapter 12. And this is hard for us to imagine. I know it's very difficult for us because, again, when we are when we're natural minded all the time, right? The world is all focused on their feelings and the emotions and your situations. And this is how, you know, I am depressed because of my situation. I'm happy because of my situation. I'm happy because of the circumstances. I am happy or sad because of my natural environment. That is not what Jesus did. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing about, we are what? Encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Guess what? There are clouds. There are people right now witnessing our run right now in heaven. We have cheerleaders in heaven. Now, they're focused on what they're doing. But again, they're aware of what is going on down here because we have a cloud of witnesses. And they're what? They're cheering us on. Let us lay aside every weight and sin as easily beset us, and let us what? Run the race with patience, the race that is set before us. You know how it talks about sin? And what is the kingdom of God? We just read it. Righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's keep going here. It says, looking, verse 2, looking under Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Here we go, for the depression that was up. No. Two things of the kingdom of God in this scripture that he's talking about. He is referring to elements of the kingdom of God. He says, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, here we go, despised the shame, and was set down to the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus on the cross was full of joy at that point. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Why? Because he saw us on the other side with him. He was not looking at the natural things. Of course he felt pain. Of course it was horrible, brutal death. So 1 John 4:8, let's read through all of that. It says again, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We can separate ourselves from the kingdom of God, and we're not experiencing by what? Avoiding these items. By avoiding these items. We're not going to experience the kingdom of God. We're not going to experience these things. We can separate ourselves from the kingdom of God and will not experience him by avoiding these items. So what is it? If we're not walking in love, God is love, we're not going to experience some of these things. Right? It's hard for us to wrap our mind around because sometimes we are looking for answers, peace, or joy. The Bible says we seek a person, not things, right? We just read that. And what do many Christians do? Can you pray for me? I need help. Adrian and I, again, we worked at the call center in Tulsa, and people call in. You can pray. I need help. What? They're not interested in a person. They're not interested in, like, I want to connect with God. They're interested in, I just need help. I need an answer, right? The ship's going down. I need help. I just need this. And there are corporate prayer times. We see that in Acts chapter 16. We see that there are, you know, throughout the Bible, there are times of corporate prayer. And we, you know, we pray for one another. Two or more gathered in my name, he's in the midst of us, and we can, you know, agree as a touching anything on earth. So there are corporate or prayer of agreement. We do see those things in the Bible. But we're seeing here many people aren't experiencing things because they're not connecting with God. They're looking for things, right? They're not seeking the kingdom, which is him. They're seeking things, so right? And Jesus just told us there, as we just read that first scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 28 through 34, that he says here, you're worried about things, but you need to be more focused on the kingdom. You need to be focused on the kingdom. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Now, I want to back up here too, because I think too many times in Christendom, we think that we're going to sit around, we're going to twiddle our thumbs, and God is going to, you know, just provide all these things for us and do all these things. We don't have to do anything. Well, there are things like work. And there are things of, again, our personal responsibility and things like that too. But God can give us favor and help us. And again, we seek first the kingdom of God and what? All these things shall be added unto us. We just read. Mark chapter 1, verse 15, it says, and saying, the time was fulfilled, here we go, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Here we go, repent and believe in the gospel. Where are the breadcrumbs leading us to the kingdom of God? It's all about repenting and walking in those things that he has for us. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. By the way, the very first message, and we're going to read this here, and I'm reading it now, but Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, "From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent,'" here we go, "'for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" What is the very first thing that John the Baptist preached? Repent and what? The kingdom of God is at hand, right? Repent. And what did Jesus do? Jesus' ministry picked up where John the Baptist left off. And we see there that John the Baptist was a precursor to Jesus. He basically began to start Jesus' ministry, right? Baptized Jesus in the Jordan. And his message was, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand, or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus began his ministry by preaching, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right? The things of God, which is a person. What's important to him. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 7. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Jesus addresses the kingdom of God in his, what we call the Lord's Prayer. You notice how all these scriptures are talking about him supplying our needs, him giving to us, him doing things for us as we seek the kingdom. Right? Not begging. Jesus addresses this in prayer when he talks about, you know, the religious people, they go and they make a big spectacle when they're praying in public, or, you know, they think they're going to get something by their vain repetitions. And he talks about this right here. It says, "But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they'll receive because of their much speaking, right? They're going to receive something because they've hounded, they've browbeated God, they've done these things. And what is he saying? Don't be like them. For what? Your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask." Again, he's pulling us back to the Father, isn't he? He's pulling us back to the person, right? You're praying because, you know, I got all these religions out there. I remember years ago watching, remember when the Iraq war was going on in Afghanistan and all these other things. And I just remember I watched the terrorists and they had their interpreter and they had the terrorists and they were doing they're recording themselves before they're going to go, you know, be a suicide bomber. And this one guy, I just never forget, he's sitting there, he's got an AK-47, he's got this rifle, and he's sitting there, and he's, you know, this really kind of cruddy looking, he's in this little dingy place, and he's recording, and he says, that he was going to go do it for the glory of Allah, and he goes, you know, if Allah willing, and I'm like, wait a minute here, I'm not blowing myself up to go like, well, I'm not sure if it's God's will or not, right? I hope he's in a good mood today. That's all the Muslims are. It's always like, well, God willing, or what? They don't know what his will is, because guess what? God is a moody person. You just don't know what kind of mood he's in that day. I am sorry. I am not going to sacrifice for myself or something or some entity that I don't know if he's mad at me today or not, right? And if I get on his bad side, that might not be good. But God specifically says in the Bible what his will is, what the kingdom of God is, and how things are outlined, and what pleases him. We don't have to guess. We don't have to, you know, try to figure God out, because we understand this through his word. And I've always said this before, and this is where I think a lot of religious folks, and especially cults, they get off, is because when they start trying to explain God through the eyes of the Old Testament, you have got to view God through the lens of Jesus. If you do not view God through Jesus, you will get an error every time. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He and I are the same, right? because Jesus emphasizes love, and then you get in the Old Testament, and you can twist things around, and then God's this mean person killing people. You know, the ground opens up, and he's just out killing people left and right and doing this stuff. And that is not God at all, because we view God through the eyes of Jesus. Why? Because we see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God prophesied about Jesus in the garden, didn't he? That he was going to come and rescue us. So we know that he's saying, we are going to crush the head of Satan. He's going to bruise the seed of the heel of Eve, of woman, but he is going to crush the head of the serpent. Wasn't he saying, I'm going to come back and I'm going to destroy the enemy and I'm going to redeem my people, my creation. So let's go on here, Matthew chapter 6, and we'll close here in a few minutes, but verse 9, afterwards the manner you pray, our Father is in heaven, hallowed be your name. What is he saying here? He's saying, first of all, Father. Jesus rocks the boat in the religious realm by not saying God. They couldn't even say his name because it was so holy, right? But they came and he said, he is Father. Oh, that just ripped them apart. Boy, they just got mad over that. Because what is Jesus saying? He's saying relationship. Relationship. I come to someone because of a relationship. And what's he say? Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors and lead us not into temptation. Here we go. But deliver us from evil. Here we go. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, Jesus always often brings things back to the same thing. He talks about the kingdom. He talks about, and then we see there the Apostle Paul in Romans, right? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, right? We see here that Jesus is referring to, first of all, Father, which is a relationship. Then he talks about the kingdom right after that, that what your will on earth be done as it is in heaven. He's always referring to the kingdom or the system of doing things, which is God. Give us this day our daily bread. So we're seeing a correlation here in the scripture, many of the scriptures, of Father, the kingdom, which is his way of doing things or his righteousness, and then also to supplying our needs. But we're always trying to get God to do things for us, right? Oh, we just need to pray because we need these things. Remember Kenneth Hagin said, I just stopped praying for myself and I'd pray for other people because, again, he just walked in things. He just walked with God. Couple more scriptures here. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Here we go. Whose mind is stayed on him. Why? Because he trusts in him. Our mind, if we walk in the kingdom, is going to be completely perfect peace. See how, again, the kingdom is peace. We're seeing these things. There's peace. There's righteousness and there's joy in the Holy Ghost, and his kingdom is surrounded by or made up of these elements. Isaiah 26:3, the Amplified says, you will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, but he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectations. I'm not thinking about stuff. I'm not thinking about the world. I'm not thinking about my obsessed with my problems. We know we have bills. We know we have things. We know we have things going on. But like this morning, I just got up watering plants. I like to get outside, you know, on the weekends. I like to get out, you know, and everybody else is in bed. I'm like, hey, I'm up in the morning watering plants. And, you know, the dogs are hyper to get fed too. So, you know, I'm making my pot of coffee and I'm getting things around. They're looking at me like, can you hurry it up? Like, you know, what's the holdup, pal? And then, you know, I get my coffee made and I'm starting it. And I got one of the dogs starts whining. I'm like, really? Can you just wait a minute? I'm like, finally I get those goofballs fed. They're outside and everything else too. But I'm just outside and I'm just like, just focus on him. Father, you know, I'm just out walking around like, thank you, Lord, for what I have. Thank you. And you know what? The Holy Spirit, I mean, it just, when I began to focus on everything wonderful he's done, everything, you know, because your flesh wants to go, I got to get this done. I need to do this. We need to do this. This has got to be done. And just say, thank you, Father, because you're a person. You love me. You live in me. Holy Spirit, you're upon me. I recognize you now, and I take time to honor and reverence you. Because God's a person. You know, we're made in his image and after his likeness. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, right? We're made in his image and after his likeness. You know, he loves to be felt. Why do you think we were made for fellowship? That's it. He made us. We're a completely different category than angels, right? We are his sons and daughters. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For he that thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he, but his heart is not with thee." I want to read the Amplified because it's a little bit wordy, but it says, Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he in behavior, one who manipulates. He says to you, eat and drink, yet his heart is not with you, but it is begrudgingly the cost." You know, we're just close here. I always laugh at those shows. I can't watch them. Like, you ever watch that America's Got Talent? You know, or what's the other one, The Voice or whatever, those shows, you know? And I like the beginning of the season where you got the people, you know, they're in there and they come up and they're trying out, and they're like, I'm going to be the next superstar. I'm going to be the most awesome thing. And when they start singing, they sound like somebody's beating a sack of cats. You know, it's just awful, right? And then when they say, well, you don't really have talent, and they kick them out, and they act like they're just devastated, you know? I mean, it's like me trying to go and be Fred Astaire trying to dance. I cannot dance for nothing, right? Ever watch those old shows like, White Christmas, or I don't remember what it is, some of those old Christmas shows. Fred Astaire's out there dancing. I'm like, I want to do that so bad. Holiday Inn, yes. Adrian's got it down there. But I just look at that, and I'm like, Fred Astaire is like the slickest cat ever. I mean, he is just jigging along and everything. I'm like, I want to do that. But I would never get up and go, you know what, I'm going to absolutely just be the next Fred Astaire. I'm just going to be, you know, the most awesome dancer in the world, because I know I don't have it. But those people that get on The Voice or Mary's Got Talent or something, and they're just singing, and it's like, oh my goodness, just give it up, right? Singing waved bye-bye to you a long time ago. But why? Those people are deceived, and they really think that they've got talent, and they really think these things. And we're seeing here in the Word, it shows us an inaccurate self-assessment of ourselves, right? It can definitely hurt us. We get into the Word. That's what's key, is when we get into the Bible, we can accurately self-assess ourselves. The more I'm into the Word, the more I'm like, ow, that hurts. You know? You ever do that sometimes? Get into the Word, and you're like, oh my goodness. I was just reading this morning back in Genesis about Noah, and I'm reading things, and I'm thinking, I forgot all about this portion of Scripture, you know? I'm really glad I read it, because I forgot all about it, you know? Like, I forgot that Noah was actually in that ark for a whole year, exactly 1 year. Like, the second month of the seventh day, it started raining, and then he was 600 years old, and he didn't even get out of there until the second month of the seventh day when he was 601 years old. But I'm looking at things, I'm thinking, I forgot all this stuff. And what is it? We read the Bible, just like the Word says, to bring back what? To remembrance, right? The Holy Ghost will bring things back to your remembrance. When I see the Scriptures, I'm thinking, wow, I need to do this. I need to do this, right? I let God tell me what I need to do. And those crazy people that get up there on the America's Got Talent or something, they're trying to convince the judges that they got talent. Guess what? I want to get in the Word. I don't want to try to convince God what I'm good at or what he needs to do for me, but I want to get in the Word and say, God, how do I change to be more like you and your kingdom? Sometimes we're just obsessed with the way we think, right? You know, when I was younger, you know, and you know, you got kids or something too. Like this morning, we're going to go to somebody was going to go to, you know, pick up the mail today, and was like, well, I don't want to go out because I look like this. Nobody cares, right? You ever, you know, it's like nobody cares. I just got a shower. I was doing stuff, reading my Bible, and doing everything. Okay, I'll go to the mail house. We'll pick up your clothes and do different things. Well, I can't go because everybody's going to look at me. I'm looking this way, so I'm not looking at anybody specific, and I'm not dropping any names, but there was some people in my house that wanted me to go out there, right? But we can get so obsessed in our thinking that we think, and this is the world thing, that everybody's looking at me, or everybody's obsessed with me, or everybody's offended with me, or I'm ever offended with everybody else and everything else too. And it's like, I come to the conclusion, you know what? I'm really not that important. You know, people don't sit around and think about me all the time. They don't think about you all the time. But you know who does think about you all the time? God. He's thinking about you all the time. And He's, you know, thinking about things. He wants to bless you, and he's thinking just constantly how much he loves you all the time. You know what? That's what I want to think on, right? I don't want to think about my neighbor up the street that doesn't mow his grass. It irritates me. Or, you know, we were coming to church, and I'm like, this is just the devil. You know, you get those things. We're coming up, and we get out, and we're laughing. I got some rage issues, okay? I'm trying to get under the blood with the driving thing, okay? You know, I need some help. We get up and we come to the first stop sign, and the light's green. Light's green. And the lady in front of us stops until it turns red, then goes through the intersection. And I'm like, I was saying something, I had to just go. And Adrian said, well, we're just going to pray for you anyway. I said, yes, I am. Be blessed in Jesus' name. There we go. So, you know, lose my salvation on the way to church. Right? Ah, that's ugly. Anyway, no, I won't chase them down and run them off the road or anything. We don't want to do that. But it was tempting, but... But that's just the thing too. You know, you got to be on guard in the kingdom. It's just be on guard for those, you know, those things sometimes. So anyway, Father, we just thank you so much for your kingdom. We bless you. We love you tonight, Father. And we just thank you that Jesus, that you are our salvation. Those who are not born again, Lord Jesus, we just pray tonight. Hallelujah. we can just receive you in the name of Jesus. As we close in here, you know, if you haven't been born, you haven't been saved, you don't know what that is, or you want prayer for anything, just come up. We want to pray for you. Amen? Or you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, all of those things. We want to offer those things every time we're here. You're always welcome. We always want to pray with people. We always want to give people Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So precious. And Father, I just thank you that this week we're going to focus on the kingdom, your way, and you. And we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.